This is Forced Migration Review, Issue 61, June 2019. Big Data, Little Ethics, Confidentiality and Consent, by Nicole Bainham and Christy Crabtree. Donors' thirst for data is increasingly undermining security and confidentiality, putting both survivors of violence and staff at risk. People who experience violence or exclusion often share their traumatic experiences with service providers while receiving care. Care that is most effective when individuals can be open and honest and know that what they share will remain confidential. In recent years, however, the International Rescue Committee, IRC, has seen the safety and confidentiality of data relating to the protection of individuals of concern being increasingly diluted. This trend can be traced in part to a seemingly innocuous change in the way we track and measure programs. In the past decade, there has been a shift towards the generation and use of big data, large volumes of structured or unstructured data. However, a lack of accountability and little understanding of the unique risks associated with protection data have encouraged a movement among large donors to request more and more specific data, which could be potentially damaging to individuals. These requests are not just for overarching aggregated data, which are widely valued and shared in standardized useful formats through information sharing protocols. Rather, some influential donors are making increased demands for individual survivors' information and have a misplaced confidence in how they might be able to use that information. Failing to protect privacy and confidentiality can result in stigma and retribution, and ultimately will erode help-seeking behavior, threaten the reputations of service providers, and put staff and vulnerable people at risk. Demand for data. At the core of work with displaced survivors of violence, including of gender-based violence, and in the protection of children and those with specific needs, is their right to confidentiality. Trust between service providers and clients is essential to providing effective help, and typically depends on assurances of privacy. Service providers are ethically obligated to protect client privacy and to ensure they do no harm. These precepts date back to the earliest versions of the Hippocratic Oath and are reaffirmed in the normative frameworks of social work and international aid, including those governing how information is managed in humanitarian settings. How data are gathered, stored, and secured, and how and why they are shared with other actors, demands diligence. To that end, IRC and other service providers have invested in building interagency systems and processes to ensure data are managed in a safe and ethical manner. These include the Child Protection Information Management System, End Note 1, the Gender-Based Violence Information Management System, End Note 2, and the Protection Information Management Initiative, End Note 3. Inherent within these systems is the recognition that sound data sharing and reporting by donors and at coordination level can lead to multiple benefits by revealing gaps in programming, strengthening coordination, and identifying opportunities for advocacy to improve programming. Each system includes clear and comprehensive data sharing protocols and practices. Yet despite these systems, some of which have been in place for a decade or more, the erosion of confidentiality practices is increasing. In some locations, donors' very broad interpretations of confidentiality and consent have diluted accepted standards, for example by arguing that once consent has been given to one organization, that consent extends to the sharing of data with any other related party. Donors are also making increased demands for sensitive, personally identifiable case management and incident information. This takes many forms, including requests for proprietary access to data, whereby they own the data and make ultimate decisions about its use, the creation of unprotected paper libraries of case management files that can be accessed at will, and even insistence on participation in confidential case management sessions. Such demands are often exacerbated by donors harassing service providers, including by threatening to withdraw funding if the data are withheld. The demand for confidential data has reached a level that compromises programs for vulnerable women and children and people with specific needs, threatens reporting, discourages people from seeking assistance, and undermines client safety. Consequences for protection programming. Examples of these harmful practices abound globally, affecting frontline staff and the people we serve. End note 4. In East Africa, untrained staff from a donor agency adopted supervisor-like roles over specialized, trained service provider staff, forcing referrals to their own agency and conducting follow-up contact with survivors for which their consent had not been obtained. In Asia, a donor agency drafted standard operating procedures that called for responsibility meetings, essentially forced mediation sessions, to be an option for survivors of intimate partner violence. Survivors declining to participate in this mediation with the perpetrator were referred to the refugee camp leadership for administrative or legal action. This fails to recognize the long-established evidence that, rather than resulting in the abuser choosing to stop using violence to control others, facilitated mediation, especially when applied by minimally trained staff, can introduce further threats to safety for survivors or staff. End note 5. In another location in East Africa, caseworkers were working to relocate one female survivor to a safe location. Before the relocation could take place, staff from the donor agency funding the program requested that the survivor be handed over to the male community leadership to be held indefinitely at a male community leader's house, a request that staff presented as an attempt at mediation. Mediation should always be voluntary and is not a recommended intervention, especially if facilitated by untrained staff. In the process of making this request to move the survivor, the donor staff revealed her identity and told the male leadership that the implementing agency's caseworker was at fault for the survivor seeking help. Thankfully, the survivor ultimately got to safety with the help of the implementing organization and other agencies, but the violations of ethical principles and of the commitment to do no harm in this case of wrongful